it's actually the presence of inflammation that makes the walls of the arteries sticky. And for cholesterol to be attracted to the wall of the vessel and cause plaques to be there. So cholesterol alone, although it is certainly predictive of risk, it's really the underlying inflammation that is even at the root of the disease itself.
Hey, Seattle firefighters. Welcome back to Listen Up L27. And today we're going to be talking to Dr. Marcy Hamrick from Station 2 Clinic. And we're going to be talking about why fit firefighters can have heart attacks. And most firefighters might say that they're in pretty good shape. They train hard, they push themselves, they carry weight, climb stairs, and work under stress. So when we hear about a firefighter having a heart attack, it doesn't always make sense. So today we're going to dig into that question. Why can someone who looks fit still be at risk? So welcome, Dr. Hamrick.
Hi, Jen. Thank you.
Let's say a firefighter is working out and they're passing their fitness tests and they feel strong. How is it possible that maybe they're still at risk for a heart attack? What are we missing when we equate fit with healthy?
Yeah, so fitness and heart disease are related, but they're not quite the same thing. So we know that fitness, like in the form of VO2 max, for instance, is strongly associated with lower mortality. The more fit people are, the longer they live in general. But we also know that plaque that builds up in arteries that causes heart attacks and strokes can still develop even in these highly fit individuals. So studies have shown, looking at athletes, that these highly active people still have plaque in their arteries, sometimes even more calcified plaque than inactive people. It's kind of an interesting paradox that in cardiology. We know fitness improves survival, but it does not fully prevent the disease of plaque buildup. So someone can be operationally fit, but metabolically unhealthy. And that's the gap that we're missing.
Something we were talking about prior was it's not always a large plaque buildup in the arteries. It can be small plaque buildup that can lead to heart attacks. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because 70 to 80% of cardiac events actually happen from smaller plaques rather than the big ones. I think historically we thought about like a hose getting increasingly clogged over time and then the flow of that hose getting less and less and less in a slow incremental process over time. What we know, I mean, that is true, but what we know now is that sometimes even a small plaque in an artery where there is inflammation present, that plaque becomes what we call unstable, meaning that it's at risk of creating an inflammatory event that leads to a heart attack. So a lot of times people may have small plaques and they're not having any symptoms because it's a small plaque. They can exercise just fine and be very fit. But because of the presence of inflammation, plaque can become unstable and cause an event without any preceding symptoms.
You started to go down the road of metabolism and hidden risks. So what does that mean in simple terms? Because, you know, is there things like insulin resistance and, you know, we're talking a little bit about cardiovascular disease. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So in simple terms, metabolic health is how well your body manages energy. So things like blood sugar, cholesterol, how your body stores fat that you take in through your diet. When it's not working well, you start to see, like you said, insulin resistance. Your body isn't as sensitive to the presence of insulin anymore. And then you start to develop prediabetes, which can progress to diabetes. You start to see higher levels of triglycerides, which are fats that circulate in our bloodstream and increase our risks. Lower HDL, or good cholesterol, can also be a sign of poor metabolic health. And then we can also see increased amounts of what's called visceral fat, the fat that's in our abdominal cavity. And that is something that we are actually evaluating at the clinic using our in-body body composition machine. It gives a visceral fat score that can tell you how much fat are you accumulating in your abdominal cavity. And that, medically speaking, is the most inflammatory, the most risky type of fat deposition for our health.
Wow. I didn't realize that you had that kind of equipment there that can do that. So that's really interesting.
It is. It gives us another tool to help us evaluate in someone like we're talking about who may look really healthy and fit and can exercise well, but maybe underlying their lab work and their body composition reveals higher visceral fat than we would expect just looking at them.
Let's talk about inflammation a little bit. So, you know, chronic inflammation can increase your risk for heart attack. So are there things about the job, maybe, you know, for firefighters, sleep disruption, stress, exposures that make inflammation worse?
Absolutely. So inflammation is now understood as sort of the key driver of heart disease. We used to think it was cholesterol. We thought of cholesterol as circulating in the bloodstream and accumulating on the walls of the arteries and causing heart disease that led to heart attacks and strokes. But what we're increasingly understanding is that it's actually the presence of inflammation that makes the walls of the arteries sticky, and for cholesterol to be attracted to the wall of the vessel and cause plaques to be there. So cholesterol alone, although it is certainly predictive of risk, it's really the underlying inflammation that is even at the root of the disease itself. And then going to your question about firefighters, I definitely think that the job increases in inflammation in a variety of ways. Sleep disruption is a strong inflammatory driver. Repeated stress surges when the bell hits and you have to go in the middle of the night, that's a huge inflammatory hit. Exposures to smoke, particulates, toxins, that's inflammatory. Diet patterns, especially ultra processed foods, things that you could never make in your own kitchen or you can't pronounce the ingredients of. We know those things are inflammatory to our body and promote disease. And then that visceral fat, which is associated with insulin resistance, is also inflammatory. So I think it's the lifestyle, often lifestyle stuff. And then on top of that, the acute stressor of the bell hitting, the adrenaline surging, the blood pressure increasing, the heart rate increasing, and it's those acute stressors on the chronic picture of underlying lifestyle and inflammation. That combination, unfortunately, sets up the risk for events like heart attacks.
Wow. That's a lot to think about. Something you said before was, you know, just go out for a 20, 30-minute walk. And I think we think about firefighters and they're training hard. There's high intensity training and they push their limits. But we've been having a conversation lately about something called zone 2 training. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, this concept was actually brought to my attention by a preventive cardiologist that I know and I work with. And she was explaining how firefighters, typically, if they have an hour in their day to exercise, they are going to like exercise 150%, you know, heart rate 150 to 200, and really push themselves because of the pressures that people feel to be fit enough for the job. But the problem with that, although that kind of exercise does increase fitness, the kind of exercise that is best for heart health is actually this zone two sort of moderate intensity exercise. It's usually a heart rate in the like 60 to 70% of your max. So for a lot of people, it's kind of in the heart rate of 90 to 120, where you can still speak in complete sentences and have a conversation while you're exercising. That zone two type of exercise that most firefighters probably don't even think of as being exercise is what trains your mitochondria, your body's energy engine, sort of the part of your cells, to use fat efficiently. It improves insulin sensitivity, it lowers your blood pressure, and it actually improves your cholesterol. When you're exercising intensely in that anaerobic threshold of exercise, your blood pressure is really high, and it's actually exerting some stress to the walls of the blood vessels, and it's not burning fat. It's just burning your sugar stores. So it does not help improve your cholesterol or your triglycerides like this zone two training. So it's that moderate sort of steady state work when done regularly that can make a big difference in heart health.
So let me ask you, if there are certainly going to be people who really like the high intensity part of it. So what's the perfect balance, you think?
Yeah, I don't want to dismiss high intensity training. It's excellent for building performance. It builds power, VO2 max, the ability to handle extreme demands like firefighters have. Again, we know VO2 max is strongly correlated with longevity. So it is important. However, I think of zone two or moderate intensity as being sort of the foundation that is important for heart health and cancer risk reduction. And then the fitness is sort of on top of that. But sometimes people don't have the foundation of the house. They're just doing that high intensity without that foundation, which can lead to the situation we're talking about where people are super fit, but maybe not metabolically healthy underneath because of the lack of moderate intensity activity. In terms of how much, and you asked, I think of doing zone two training for about 150 minutes a week. So 30 minutes, five times a week would satisfy that. And it doesn't even need to be 30 minutes straight. Like studies have shown that, you know, walking several blocks or doing 5 minutes here and 10 minutes here there and another 10 minutes there, that cumulative, especially time not sitting, interesting studies on the risks of sitting for long periods of time is as dangerous as smoking on your heart health. So even if you are sitting and watching TV or waiting for the next call when you're at work, like if you get up and walk around for a few minutes, that has a significant impact on your risk of having a heart attack, even though it feels like nothing to a firefighter.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. We've been talking about walking, but what about like weights, working with weights, things like that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a good weekly plan, it can look like lots of different things, but like 5 days a week of 30 minutes of this moderate intensity zone two, maybe 2 days a week of higher intensity training for fitness, and then another 1 to 2 days per week of strength training. I do think that firefighters often like building strength more than they like doing cardio, just the majority of people I talk to. And I think that we need to flip that a little bit and emphasize how important the cardio is in terms of not only heart health, but mental health and sleep and cancer risk, and maybe do strength training, a good workout a couple times a week, and really make sure you get the solid foundation of the house with that moderate intensity more often.
So let's talk about the biggest things a firefighter should pay attention to beyond working out. So what are some early warning signs or indicators they shouldn't ignore? Or, what is the role in, like, say, getting your AFME and catching these risks early?
Yeah, so I definitely think of metabolic health, which looks like your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your blood sugar, your what's called hemoglobin A1C, which is the diabetes screening tests that we do as part of the exam. I also think about the things that drive inflammation, since we know that that is what's really important and at the root of heart disease. So thinking about sleep quality and amount, stress management, nutrition, and minimizing exposures. And then thinking also about how you're training, like we're talking about. Not just intense, but consistency and having balance.
I think that's the big takeaway here, right? It's that the fitness is obviously important, but it's not the full picture. So understanding what's happening inside your body, we've talked about metabolism and inflammation and how you can train and make a difference over the course of your career. Dr. Hammack, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jen, for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Listen Up L27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.